sticks to your soul. You know who you are and where you're from.
This is Shelley Tomlinson, Belle of All Things Southern, and you're listening to the All Things Southern podcast, brought to you by Jim Taylor Chevrolet in Rayville, Louisiana.
Mama fills up our plates, Papa's saying grace, Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignets.
Welcome. Shelley here. In this week's episode, I'll be chatting with Chantel Brewer about how moms can embrace the mission field that's right under their roof. It's the intriguing and inspiring subject of her new book, Missionary Mom, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Afterwards, we'll whip up something delicious in the All Things Southern kitchen. Word has it, it's my skinny dip and baked coconut shrimp. And then I'll close with a few devotional thoughts of my own. Right now, let's chat. I've got a couple of straight running crazy news stories for y'all ripped from the headlines. A woman had to be pulled off a flight in Orlando because she refused to fly without her squirrel. Yes, I said squirrel. She said it was her emotional support animal. The woman was confronted in the cabin and told she couldn't fly with her squirrel, but she refused to exit. So the other 200 passengers had to debark until officials were called. I think it was a two-hour delay before the woman and her squirrel were escorted from the plane. And the flight continued. You know, I'm not going to make any jokes about how nutty this story is because that's just too easy. Besides, I feel sorry for the woman. She was obviously just confused. I bet she thought her buddy was a flying squirrel. And one more note from our straight running crazy file. A university in England has banned their students from clapping because applause apparently causes anxiety in some of their fellow students. I'll wait while you absorb that. You good? Okay, the word is that when the students are excited, they are supposed to use their jazz hands, meaning waving their hands in the air without making any sound. You can't see me, but I'm opining on this right now. With an eye roll. It's quiet, too. Mama always said my eyes were going to get stuck in the back of my head one day. I think I'm just a couple news stories away.
Swinging. Yeah, just a swing.
You're listening to Shelley on All Things Southern.
Chantel Brewer is a wife, mother, kindergarten teacher, and associate pastor with Foursquare International in Reno, Nevada. I mean, really, she has nothing to do, right? A kindergarten teacher and an associate pastor, wife, and mother. Have mercy. I can't believe she is even with us today, but she is to talk about her book, Missionary Mom, Embracing the Mission Field Right Under Your Roof. Welcome to All Things Southern, Chantel.
Thank you so much. I love the name of your podcast.
Oh, thank you. I tell you, there's a long story behind All Things Southern, but maybe you and I will share that one day and you can get a kick out of how that all transpired. But right now, I want to talk about Chantel. I absolutely love the message of this book. I'm going to let you set it up and then I'll jump in and tell you why it's so important to me and why I wanted you to be on All Things Southern. So, Missionary Mom, who is she and what does that mean to you?
To me, Missionary Mom is any mama, every mama who has kids, any mama who they don't even have to be her own children. They can be the neighbor's kids, or if you work with kids or you are a teacher, there are plenty of missionary opportunities for me with my students. And it's the idea that you are the first Jesus that these kids see and the responsibility that comes with that. You know, we don't have to necessarily go to far off countries to bring Jesus, and our kids are counting on us and our world after that, they're counting on our kids, right?
Amen. Can I just tell you why this is such a vital conversation for me? I have 5 grandchildren and their mothers love Jesus and they're after Jesus and raising my grandchildren to know him as well. Well, their mothers and their fathers, but we're talking about missionary moms. And so that's why I mentioned the moms. But Chantel, Many times what I am seeing in the last few years in the body of Christ is, and not intentional, but it is the, it can come across that if we are not launching a nonprofit in Uganda, if we aren't doing that big thing, then what we're doing right now, we're just beating time until we raise our children, and then we can do that calling. And when I consider, and I've told my own daughter and daughter-in-law this, when I consider that if they were to swallow that, my grandchildren would miss out on the nurture and admonition of the Lord that's supposed to come from their home. And that's why I think this is such an important topic. So when was it clear for you? When did you realize where the mission field is?
Well, first, I love that you're saying that, because that actually was the issue, that what you just said was the issue for me. And I think that God brought that around because I was watching all these people go and do ministry. They were, you know, off being these amazing humans and coming back to church and sharing their stories. And of course we wanted to be supportive, but it kept making me feel smaller and smaller, and as if what I was doing wasn't important. And we had gone through some infertility. My husband and I lost 3 babies, and pretty early on with some of them, but into the second trimester with another one. And so, you know, I mean, we really had been in prayer about being parents, and we had one daughter in between the miscarriages. And, you know, our family was kind of all over the place. And my husband worked so hard so that I could stay home. He worked 3 jobs so I could stay home. And I thought, man, there's all this that's happening, all of this hurt and struggle, this sacrifice my husband's doing and having to miss out on so much. And my reply to that is to feel like I'm trapped or to be annoyed with my situation just seemed super selfish all of a sudden. And I'm grateful that God pointed that out to me. So that's exactly what I did. Exactly what you're saying is I looked around and I thought, you know what? I have a real opportunity here to be building up. I mean, how are my kids going to grow up and start a nonprofit for Uganda if they've not been raised well by me? You know, they're not going to have any skills. They're not going to have tools. And, you know, the more I got into education and watching these kids show up with 0 skills, I had 5th graders that didn't know how to use scissors at one point. Wow. I had kids come in that they didn't know how to talk with words. They can only talk with fists, and that never solved anything. And so I thought, you know, I've got this chance right now to take what I know, this peace that I know in Jesus, and pass it on. And, you know, it isn't enough for us to teach our kids that God is real. Kids believe it. They just know it. I mean, they have that childlike faith. We don't have to convince children of that. What we have to teach them is how to have a personal relationship with Him from a really young age. That is the same as, you know, there's adults that I meet in pastoring where they'll come to me and they'll say, "Pastor, can you pray for me?" And I say, "Have you prayed for you? Have you come prayed?" On. Of course, I'll join with you in prayer, but don't just keep coming and bringing your prayer requests to me. You don't need me. You need Jesus. And so, you know, even teaching these adults, no one's told them that they don't need a pastor to intervene for them. They get Jesus now. That, you know, that veil was torn, right?
Amen. You know, I was sitting there nodding my head vigorously while you were saying that. And then you got ahead of exactly what I was going to hit on, because you were talking about how our children know that there is a God. They need to be taught how to walk with Him, how to experience this Jesus, how to know Him daily. And I was there in my head going, "And the body of Christ at large." Yeah. The adults need to know the very same thing, how to walk with Him daily. That, I could talk to you a while on that, because it is the story of my life and how I went from just knowing and believing in Him to being passionate about Him. And I was a believer the entire time, but man, we must mentor the body of Christ into drawing from Jesus and not solely from each other. Amen.
Yes. Amen. For sure.
We got to wean them off. Another thing that I love about Missionary Mom, I've got to stop. That sounded so almost cold just then. I said, we've got to wean them off. And I think I should stop and explain that. You know, we as the body of Christ are supposed to be interconnected, and we are supposed to be an aid to each other. My point was that we cannot be Jesus to anyone else. And if we put ourselves in that position, we do them such a disservice. Our call is to, yes, encourage and mentor them, but then get them addicted to going to the throne. Okay, so I want to sum that up and then turn to another topic, and that's humor. I absolutely love to laugh. I use a hashtag on social media a lot that says life is better when you're laughing, because I believe it. And you communicate in humor in Missionary Mom and brought me many a chuckle and a grin. So tell me why do you communicate that way? Why is it important to Chantel?
You know, that is just my everyday. I grew up in a large family, and, you know, you get those weird coping skills when you do that. And so mine was humor. I'm the youngest four and the only girl. And so I was picked on in the best possible way. My brothers have always been really adoring, but just picked on the best possible way. And they would pull pranks, and we're just that family. We laughed a lot in my house. We definitely did. And, you know, that is just kind of something that God has built up in me. And then at the same time, He's built this skill to say hard things well. And I think that humor just has a lot of play in that. And
I could not agree more. It just plows up that heart that can be hard, and then it can receive that word. Amen.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And there, you know, there's a lot of times where the things I have to say, they feel like they have no humor in them. And so, you know, they're difficult, but just walking beside so many people, mamas especially, but walking beside them as they are hurting or their kids are going through something, and walking with their kids at the same time as I'm walking with the moms, you know, there has to be some break. I think that there's plenty of times in scripture where God he uses a little bit of sarcasm, or that could just be possibly how I'm reading it. But there's times, as in Isaiah, I think is probably the most sarcasm I see in the Bible. And I picture Isaiah constantly having a side glance, like if we get to this awkward moment, he's like, didn't you just see that I just did this? Or like the story of Elijah, where he's all, you know, he was hiding 1 second, but then a minute before, God was doing this amazing thing and lighting this altar on fire that was soaked in water. And I mean, just all these things. And it's, dude, come on.
And then he's hiding. Yeah. You know, when I think of humor in the Old Testament, the first person that comes to my mind is Mighty Gideon. And he was hiding from the Lord's call, and God sends, the angel shows up and says, "Oh, mighty man of God," to this guy who is cowering behind the wheat shafts, you know, and he's calling him mighty man of God. And so I agree with you. There is humor in the word of God, and I believe it's a tool. When I said tool just then, I thought about something I wanted to ask you about that is such a tool, but sadly, it's a tool of the enemy. And it's a topic that moms that are listening are going to be familiar with immediately, and that's mom guilt. You have a whole chapter on it. So I'm just going to cede the microphone to you and let you talk to the moms out there that may be struggling with mom guilt about one thing or the other.
Well, you know, I think that I agree. I think it is actually one of the enemy's greatest tools that he tries to use against us. And if we just have this thing about us where we take on so much, we really do carry quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of hats we play as a mom, whether we are, we have a career outside of the home, or we are full-time moms inside of the home. And, you know, it's difficult. It's a lot of, almost like a balancing game. But again, like you were saying earlier in our prayer together, that, you know, there's no thing that is too big for God's hands. We're not meant to carry things. We're meant to bring these to Jesus. And He's so grateful when we ask Him for wisdom, and He gives us that wisdom to function rather than us turning it around. You know, we say, "Lord, are we supposed to go to work full time? Are we supposed to go to work part time?" But instead, what we do is we have this guilt about it all. You know, we have this unsurety, and so we have guilt because we're not certain that we're walking where God has asked us to walk. And then when He's asked us to put things down, we still kind of hang on to them, I think, a tiny bit. And then because we think we should be able to do this over here, as well as should be over to, you know, able to do this over here. And, you know, oh, and now we've got this last minute thing with our kids, and I should be able to handle all of this. But, you know, we heap on this guilt on ourselves and the shoulds of mothering. And I think that that is just a real mistake. I think that's not God's plan for us at all. His plan is the path that he has set before each of us, and it's going to look differently for each of us. I am currently a full-time working parent. That doesn't mean that I get to become a part-time mom. It means that there may be some other things that need to go. There may be some things I need to get to delegate rather than trying to do it all or feeling horrible that I'm working too much. God's called me to be this teacher this year. So I'm not going to feel guilty that I'm doing God's will because I'm, you know, feeling like I need to be home a little bit more. And then the same thing, if he calls me home to be home with my family, I'm going to be all in. I'm not going to feel guilty that I'm not bringing in money. And we do it over everything. And then we compare over and over. We compare, well, I'm looking at what's right for their family or how their family's functioning. And it seems to be working great, but maybe it's working great because they're in God's will, not because they're doing the same thing somebody else is doing.
Oh, amen to that. We must go directly to the Lord to know where our ministry is and what we're called to do. Because if we compare with anyone else, then the enemy is going to come in and we're going to either feel guilty or think we're doing it better, but we're going to miss it. Unless we're going to the Lord himself. And I was thinking as you were speaking just then, you know, we can enlarge that topic of mom guilt to grandmother guilt. I have five grands and I'm called into ministry and I do a lot of traveling and speaking and I need to go to the throne itself. I need to stay connected with my Jesus to balance it all. Because the enemy can make me feel like I'm not doing one of my roles, whether it's mom, wife, grandmother, you know, I'm working at my church. He can give me that guilt that you're speaking of and use it to cause me to stumble if I'm not continually bringing my schedule to the throne. Well, because I want to do his will and not mine.
Right. And then you're not great. You're not doing well in any of the areas if you're so caught up in that. You know,
right.
I mean, then we're not functioning in the one area God did say, you know, for us to go.
Amen. It's good for us to remember. And I think this is for someone that's going to be listening to this podcast. It's good for us to remember that he alone can tell us if we're doing it well and when we are giving enough to a certain area, because sometimes you're not going to get that from the people in your life. It's never going to be enough. They're going to want more. You know, they're going to want more of you or more of your involvement in this or that. And that's not where you make that final call. So someone needs to hear that today. The place you make that final call is between you and your Lord. Am I doing what you've called me to do well? And am I using my time to glorify you? Let's talk about scripture. In your book, you mentioned that incorporating scripture into family life can be difficult. And I would, you know, agree with that, having raised children and having now I have an empty nest that's always full of people coming and going, but scripture is everything in my life. But weaving it into our family lives, there can be a discord between the two. So what are some creative ways that you have come up with to bring scripture into your home?
Part of mine is I've chosen scriptures for my children that I pray over them and they, you know, they hopefully will go on to choose their own life verses, but I have some just in how I view my kids and what I feel God has called them to. You know, I have they don't remember their whole lives. They remember just from when they're old enough. And so I get the privilege of knowing them since infancy and even in the womb. And so I have an awareness of either words that they've said to me or just kind of, you know, as their personalities develop and knowing them. So I have scriptures that I pray over them regularly, notes of encouragement. But also with discipline, you know, I use not in an exasperating way, but I use my scriptures as discipline. And so even if we are just having conversation, if there's not necessarily going to be a punishment, you know, I'll explain to them, I'm not just saying no to you. Let me explain what your behavior could lead to. And, you know, this is sin and sin leads to death. And so let's look in scripture and see. And then even, you know, my kids have been in church their whole lives. And they will go with other friends to other churches. And there was a time that my daughter was visiting a local youth group here that I wasn't really sure about their just how they were running things. And she was 16 and, you know, kind of at a place where she was deciding if God was her God, you know, mm-hmm. and she was kind of walking through it. And I definitely didn't want to stifle that. And there were plenty of safe Christian people there. And so I just kind of prayed over her and told her, you know, go for it. You can go ahead and go and just, you know, let me know how it goes. And so she came home and she went three times before she decided it was definitely not sound. But because we'd had that conversation up front, and then at the back end, every time she brought home, you know, I'd say, you know, what you guys talk about tonight. And she'd say, well, this was a little bit confusing. Well, let's go and see what scripture says. At one point, we actually were able to disprove what they were talking about. They're teaching incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So, and she said, you know, this youth group is not for me. And I was so grateful because I didn't have to convince her. We looked at scripture and scripture convinced her.
Beautiful. I love that. It's that total incorporation of God's word into our lives, because sometimes we can think we've got to be absolutely regimented about, you know, getting the family together, say in the morning or in the evening, for a devotional and to read God's word. And that is huge. And I would wholeheartedly recommend it. But the point that I'm making is, if that's where it stops, that scripture guiding us, if we leave that there and then we have the rest of our home lives, then what our children are seeing is that compartmentalization of that scripture really isn't a part of our life. It's just one thing that we do. But when we do exactly what you just said, Chantel, when we incorporate God's word in our home throughout the day, through the different instances and circumstances that come up, and our children see that, wait, you have an authority over you. You're not saying that you're the final it, that, you know, you are parents and we must respect you, but you are going to the same authority that you're sending us to. That's of immeasurable worth right there. I love that you brought that out. That's really great. Our time is drawing to a close here. So I know what it's like to birth the book. They don't just slide out. It's hard. So when you see Missionary Mom come into the market, what do you want people to take from it?
Probably, honestly, the biggest thing is be obedient. God gave me this book over a decade ago. I was pregnant with my youngest son. He's 12 now. And I made, I think, just enough steps in the right direction so that I could consider myself obedient. I started writing some things down. But you know what? Honestly, I held on to it for so long, and God revealed this to me a few years ago. I was hanging on to it out of fear of failure. These words are so vulnerable. I've got notes in the margin that are just the things that pop in my mind as I was writing. I've got personal stories in there, stories that are not my more shining moments as a mother or even as a kid myself. And so it's very vulnerable. And so putting that out there meant, you know, people are going to know these things, and not just in the intimate settings that I choose to tell them. And so, and I have not been in my life a super open person with my story, with parts of my story. And when I finally sat down, actually, what I did is I stood in front of my church and I said, I think I have a fear of failure. Will you guys hold me accountable? And the whole church, and they said, yeah, we'll hold you accountable. And then just to watch how faithful God is to walk as I really took steps in obedience to write this book down. And I agree. I feel like it is humorous. It is encouraging in a role. So the women that are reading it, or the men even who are reading it, they're saying it's convicting. But I feel like I've got my next steps. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I can see how there's definitely a different level of intention that I can be having. And I'm grateful for that, because that's going to change my actual world, the world that I'm living in. If we have more and more people that are raising their kids this way, I mean, what is that going to do for the kingdom? And then what is that going to do here for our world while we're living in it? What a blessing, I think.
I'm smiling, amen, at that very thought and vision right there of people intentionally realizing that their mission field is all around them. Their mission field, it's those people that are looking them eyeball to eyeball. Then you are a missionary to them with God's word. And it's a blessing. It's a great book. I just pray blessings all over it. And I thank you for taking your time to come by All Things Southern today.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me here.
Okay. God bless and take care.
Thank you.
You're listening to Shelley Tomlinson's All Things Southern Radio Show. Check out Shelley's award-winning website, www.allthingssouthern.com. And now, once again, here's Shelley.
Welcome back to the All Things Southern Kitchen. I came home from a weekend speaking and ministering on the road last weekend to find my beloved farmer in the kitchen prepping about 20 pounds of fresh Gulf shrimp for the freezer. Several points here. One, you don't get to choose when to get fresh shrimp. You just get it when the getting's good, and he had been offered some. Two, he gets Best Husband Award for trying to get the heads removed and the shrimps bagged. Two, he gets Best Husband Award for trying to get the heads removed and the shrimp bagged and in the freezer before I came home. And three, he didn't make it, but there was no way I was going to let him finish without me, so we teamed up and got the job done. Oh, and four. Sorry, there's a four, but this is the best part. Now, there's fresh shrimp on hand for a multitude of dishes, and it's all good eating. Tonight, I'll be serving my skinny dipping baked coconut shrimp. It's not quite the same as traditional fried coconut shrimp, but it's really close. It's better for you, and is nowhere near the mess. I'll show you how it's done. Let's do it. We'll go ahead and set our oven to preheat at 400 degrees. We're going to be starting with a pound of shrimp that we've peeled and deveined. We're going to rinse our shrimp and lay them out on paper towels to let them air dry. That's important. They'll coat better and bake to a crunchier finish. Meanwhile, we'll prepare three small mixing bowls. In the first bowl, we'll combine a half a cup of cornstarch with a teaspoon each of salt, cayenne pepper, and a good Cajun seasoning like Tony Sachery's. We'll beat 3 to 4 egg whites in a second bowl, and then we'll put about 2 cups of flaked coconut in the third one. It's time for our shrimp to go skinny dipping. We'll dredge them in the seasoned cornstarch, dip them one by one in egg white, and then we'll press them into the coconut, coating it as well as we can. Then we'll place them on a baking sheet that we've prepared with cooking spray and bake until they're bright pink. Now tonight, I'm serving these with a big green salad and a loaf of French bread, but they're also good as an appetizer. Or try them on po' boys. That's my skinny dip and baked coconut shrimp, and it's mighty good eating from the All Things Southern Kitchen to yours. Let's open the Word together. Psalm 62, verse 8 reads, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Friends, every single day brings opportunity to take our wounds and our worries to our heads or bring them to our God. In our heads, we'll find many reasons to hold on to the pain, defend our positions, and question the promises. Before our God, we'll find truth that supersedes and soothes. Choose well. That's it for this week. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. This is Shelley with Hugs for All.